Chapter 30. Sandecker leaned over a large, contoured map of the North Atlantic Ocean floor, his hand toying with a small pointer. He looked at Gunn, then at Pitt standing on the other side of the miniaturized seascape. "I can't understand it," he said after a moment's silence. "If that horn is any indication, the Titanic doesn't lie where she's supposed to." Gunn took a felt-tip pen and made a tiny mark on the map. "Her last reported position just before she sank was here, at 41 degrees 46 minutes north, 50 degrees 14 minutes west." "And you found the horn where?" Gunn made another mark. "The exact position of the Sappho-1's mothership on the surface at the time we discovered Farley's Cornet put us here, about 6 miles to the southeast." "A 6 mile discrepancy. How's that possible?" "There was a conflict of evidence concerning the position of the Titanic when she went down," Pitt said. "The skipper of one of the rescue ships, the Mount Temple, put the liner much farther to the east, and his reading was based on a sun sighting, far more accurate than the dead reckoning position figured by the Titanic's fourth officer right after she struck the iceberg. But the ship that picked up the survivors, the Carpathia, I believe it was," Sandecker said, "steamed on a course toward the position given by the Titanic's wireless operator and came in direct contact with the lifeboats within 4 hours. There's some doubt that the Carpathia actually traveled as far as her captain assumed," Pitt replied. "If so, the sighting of the wreckage and the lifeboats could have occurred several miles southeast of the Titanic's wireless position." Sandecker idly tapped the pointer against the map railing. "This puts us between the devil and the deep blue sea, so to speak, gentlemen. Shall we conduct our search efforts in the exact area of 41 degrees 64 minutes north, 50 degrees 14 minutes west? Or do we bet our money on Graham Farley's horn, 6 miles to the southeast? If we lose, God only knows how many acres of Atlantic Ocean real estate we'll have to drag underwater television cameras over before we stumble on the wreck. What do you say, Rudy?" Gunn did not hesitate. "Since our search pattern with the Sappho-1 failed in and around the Titanic's advertised position, I say we drop the TV cameras in the vicinity where we picked up Farley's Cornet." "And you, Dirk?" Pitt was silent a few moments. Then he spoke. "My vote goes for a delay of 48 hours. Sandecker stared across the map speculatively. "We can't afford 1 hour, much less 48. Pitt stared back at him. "I suggest that we skip the TV cameras and leapfrog to the next step. Which is, we send down a manned submersible." Sandecker shook his head. "No good. A TV camera sled towed by a surface vessel can cover 5 times the area in half the time it would take a slow-moving submersible." "Not if we pinpoint the gravesite in advance." Sandecker's expression darkened. "And how do you propose to pull off that minor miracle?" "We gather every shred of knowledge concerning the Titanic's final hours, glean all records for speed, conflicting position reports, water currents, the angle she slid beneath the waves, throw in the Cornet's resting place, everything, and program it through NUMA's computers. With luck, the readout data should point directly to the Titanic's front yard." "It's the logical approach," Gunn admitted. "In the meantime," Sandecker said, "we lose 2 days." "We lose nothing, sir. We gain," Pitt said earnestly. "Admiral Kemper has loaned us the MODOK. She's docked at Norfolk right now, fitted out and ready to sail."
"Of course," Gunn blurted. "The Sea Slug."
"Precisely," Pitt replied. "The Sea Slug is the Navy's latest model submersible, designed and constructed especially for deep water salvage and rescue, and she's sitting on the MODOK's afterdeck. In 2 days, Rudy and I can have both vessels over the general area of the wreck, ready to begin the search operation." Sandecker rubbed the pointer across his chin. "And then, if the computers do their job, I feed you the corrected position of the wreck site. Is that the picture?"
"Yes, sir. That's the picture."
Sandecker moved away from the map and eased into a chair. Then he looked up into the determined faces of Pitt and Gunn. "Okay, gentlemen, it's your ballgame.